You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
As always on a Wednesday, I speak to an investment professional from Miton Optimal. This week, I speak to Peter Geekie-Cobb, who's a Miton Optimal senior fund manager based in the United Kingdom. And of course, tomorrow, in a few hours' time, you'll be packing your flask of tea and you'll be going down to the polling station, Peter, and voting for whomsoever. But it's quite a big one, and the polls are suggesting it's not quite as clear-cut as it might have been maybe 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's absolutely right, Lindsay. Looking at the polls, that's right. But what I've been looking at is Sporting Index, where you can spread bet on the number of seats and so forth. And 2 weeks ago, Tory seats were priced at 351, and today they're today they are at 343. So they've come down 8 seats in a fortnight, and actually, you know, falling reasonably quickly. So it's anybody's guess, but it's going to be a tight run thing.
We've had these two previous predictions of previous elections and previous polls, and one was the Brexit poll. And the bookmakers and everybody else got it completely wrong. And also the Trump presidency, the last election in the United States was wrong, called wrong by the bookmakers completely as well. So is there a chance that there could be a third one as well? In other words, could there be some tactical voting? Could, heaven forbid, and this is my view, not yours, that Jeremy Corbyn actually gets into power, or there could be a hung parliament? I just get the feeling that something's going to happen.
That's eminently possible, and you know, when you get people like John Major and his old deputy Michael Heseltine, you know, saying that even diehard conservatives should vote tactically, you know, it makes it an even unpredictable outcome. Yes, I think that's. I think this time around, you know, the Conservatives do need a majority because they've got no one to go into partnership with. Because, of course, the DUP would not vote through Boris Johnson's oven-ready Brexit deal. So if he doesn't get a majority, Jeremy Corbyn with a SNP and, you know, possibly Lib Dem alliance is a very real possibility. Yes, I think this is probably the most significant election we've had in decades, because the ramifications, you know, certainly for markets, are pretty huge.
I don't think there's going to be a Brexit. I don't think that the election that will probably unfold, the results of which will unfold over the weekend and maybe the latest by Monday morning, I think it will mean that there will be no Brexit and there will be even more turmoil. And therefore, that makes it very difficult for you as a fund manager to have a look at the sterling and the gilts and the UK-based stocks. So it must be a very interesting, I think interesting is an understatement, an interesting time for you to be a fund manager in the UK.
Yes, it's extremely difficult because, you know, the outturn is so binary. I mean, if Boris Johnson gets a working majority, then one, you know, might expect sterling to continue to rally on a bit of certainty. Domestic stocks, which already look, you know, fairly cheap on a historical basis, but also, you know, relative to international markets, you know, should do reasonably well. Confidence could pick up, but, you know, if we're left with a hung parliament or more uncertainty, then of course the reverse could happen. So it's a very difficult time indeed to how to position in the UK portion of portfolios.
It is very difficult, but the easy thing to do is just to sit on your hands and wait for the dust to settle. Is that what you're doing? Are you taking a bet on this election and saying we have to be long sterling or we have to be short sterling, we have to be long gilts or the other way around? How are you approaching it at Might on Optimal in the UK?
Well, in terms of the UK, we are fairly neutrally positioned with regard to the UK exposure. I would say small long sterling, and that's, you know, if it was in the middle of its range, then, you know, we'd be absolutely neutral at this point. But, you know, sterling does look cheap on a relative basis. But, you know, I think it's, you know, over the next, you know, 48 hours, it's probably right not to have huge bets on the UK part of the portfolio.
The cable has been below 120. It's now 130, 150. So even at 130, 150, you think it's still cheap, the pound, that is.
Yes. I think that's right. Both against the euro and against the dollar. It's against both. It's probably 15 to 17% undervalued on a PPB basis, which is never a great tool to help you, you know, do your entry and exit points, but it's a good underlying model to, you know, to get to sort of longer term valuation levels. So, you know, we would say sterling is cheap in, you know, under the current scenario. But if we were to get a left-leaning, government coalition, then you know, sterling inevitably will come under pressure.
Yes, it will. I wonder what the dollar will do after the US Federal Reserve's Federal Open Market Committee comes out with something this evening. I think the consensus is that there'll be an unchanged stance on US interest rates tonight. Is it important, or is it just a sideshow?
I think it is important. Not so much what they do, and we would expect them to do to be on hold. I think the dot chart amongst the committee is important, and you know there are a few hawks on the committee that, you know, may raise their, you know, longer term outlook for interest rates. In other words, you know, as you look at the dots, if a portion of the committee are increasing their perception of where rates should be further out, that might send a little bit of a message that, you know, we're at the end of this current cycle. The one thing I think we need to watch out a little bit over year end is the repo market, liquidity in the FX swap market and so forth. Whether there, you know, might need to be some, short term injection of liquidity over the year end. But, I think the message is what the individual members, are, if you like, forecasting for rates going into next year.
Is the impeachment process a risk, or is it just, again, a sideshow?
I think it is a risk because it's a distraction on, you know, on other things that are going on in the real economy and, you know, what the administration could be doing in terms of, policy ideas. But I think in the medium term, I think it's unlikely because the Senate have to vote with a two-thirds majority for him to be removed from office, and I would suggest that was sort of reasonably unlikely. I think it's a sideshow, but you know, it's an unnecessary distraction.
An unnecessary distraction, a sideshow. And here we are on, where are we now? The 11th of December. But at this time of year, you should be looking forward to a quiet time, and other fund managers, money managers, economists, etc., should be looking forward to relaxing a little bit after what has been another choppy sort of year. But unfortunately, we've got two or three different things that have got us distracted.
Keeping us focused.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping us focused and distracting us. So you're probably going to keep one eye on the screen even when you go away.
Very much so.
I won't ask you who you're going to vote for, but you are going to vote.
Very much so, yes.
Are you? Will you be there at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Well, I've actually already done it by post.
So
I can't change my mind now.
And you can't tell us what it was, of course.
No.
People are so willing to tell me so many other things, but they won't tell me who they've voted for. Peter, thank you very much for your brief time this evening. That's Peter Geekie-Cobb, Mighton Optimal Senior Fund Manager in the United Kingdom. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.